Well, coming up after me this morning, in fact, every morning, weekday morning here on WABC, is my man Brian Kilmeade, does a spectacular radio show every day. Of course, we know the great job he does on Fox and Friends every morning on Fox News, and his own great show, 9 p.m. Saturday nights, right after my boy Levin, which is called One Nation. And I'll start with this, Brian Kilmeade. What do you, Babe Ruth, Allen Iverson, Dwayne Wade, and Ken Griffey Jr. all have in common?
Would you say the three?
Number Trey, exactly right, Brian Kilmeade. And we'll start
that was
right
good.
Yeah. How about those names? You're a big sports guy. Ruth, Iverson, Wade, and Griffey. But on a serious note, this Talkers Magazine list that comes out, which Levin went nuts on a couple of nights ago because he said Sid needs to be much higher than number 15. He's number one in New York. But regardless of that, you're number three, well-deserved.
You know, wait a second. So Mark Levin went on with you and said you should be higher?
No, he didn't go on with me. He did it on his own radio show. And somebody made me aware of the audio, which I'm going to play a couple of times this morning, because anytime Levin says something nice, of course, it's a big deal for me. But on a serious note, I mean, you find that people around this business all see that list. You get a lot of congratulations. Number three is a very, very big deal. Only Hannity and Ramsey beat you. That's a big deal.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, we were 98, and I remember we were being 74. And then we broke, when I got to the first page, which is the top 50, I thought that was great, and Michael Harrison seems to like the show, and, you know, I wouldn't be there without WABC. I mean, having John Castamatidis keep us on was just huge, especially with all the local talent you have. So that turns a lot of heads, and there's a lot of shows, really powerful, great shows that just don't have this presence, and that got people's attention. And then we're about to have a big announcement about a major city in Texas, and we got Richmond last month, and we could be zeroing in on a major city in Connecticut, and we don't own any stations. Fox doesn't have any leverage. You know, we're not going to, just like you guys, if people are going to pick up your show syndicated, they're going to pick it up on the quality of the show. It's not that John Castamatidis owns 27 stations, I'm going to put Sid on all of them. A lot of that with these syndicated companies is, oh yeah, this is our guy, this is our woman, we're putting them on. That's kind of the way radio works. And then you just wonder where it's all heading, Sid. I mean, how many people listen to us just on their phones? How many people listen to us just on the stream? They watch. So, and how that figures into everything. And then it's just a fascinating time in the audio business, but it's a great time.
I agree with you. And it's funny you mentioned syndication, because of the guys in the top 15, I'm the only one who's not syndicated. I'm the only one who does a local show. And that brought up the conversation, should Sid be syndicated? You know, early in my career, Brian, when I was doing sports in the late 1990s, I was syndicated with Scott Kaplan twice, once on Sports Fan Radio Network, about 70 markets, and then Joel Hollander, Westwood One, about 90 markets. Now, six or seven of those markets were great. Places like Vegas, Kansas City, Los Angeles, and about 80 of them were towns you never heard of. But to bring up the conversation yesterday, and what I found was most of my listeners here were like, no, don't do it. We like the fact that Sid is New York and New Jersey centric, and he says things in New York that if he said it in Abilene, Texas, or if he said it in, you know, in some other small Bible Belt town, they'll throw him off in 2 seconds. We don't want anybody else telling Sid what to do. Keep him here in New York.
I know, and the thing is, and I wrestle with this all the time. You know, sometimes I get caught up so much into what's happening here, and everything's happening here. Obviously, it's easy when Donald Trump goes to trial. The whole world's watching. It's easy. Sadly, we're the number one place to look at for illegal immigration and crime and subway horror stories. It becomes national stories. But sometimes, you know, I get so caught up with what's happening here. I hear from other affiliates like, hey, Brian, don't forget, you know, you got a station in Dayton. You know, don't forget, you got Orlando. You know, you're in Jacksonville, too. So that's why the talk in New York is so cool. I get a chance to get my New York therapy, and it comes out with those 2 minutes at the top of each hour. But that's the one thing that happens. You have to kind of keep the whole country in mind. And then sometimes people are like, don't you know? This is a major story in this city. How could you not be mentioning that? And I'm trying to tell them, for the country, it's not top, you know.
Right.
But for you guys, it is. And that's the thing you push back and forth. The show changes when you go national.
Yeah, and I don't want to deal with that nonsense. I don't think I do, at least. I mean, for the money, I'll do anything. You know me. I want money. I do want to talk about Trump.
No, you never care about money. In fact, didn't you offer to tell John Katsimatidis, don't worry about it, whatever you want? You know, didn't you do? Who did that?
It wasn't me. It wasn't me.
Andre Dawson. Andre Dawson, to break collusion, walked in and said, just fill out this contract. Put whatever number you want. I want out of Montreal. To the Cardinals, I think it was. Do you remember that?
No, to the Cubs. Maybe you're right. It was the Cardinals. But he left. He did leave Montreal. You're right about that.
Right. So are you thinking about doing that? It's a blank page, John. Just write whatever you want?
No. I place my ultimate trust in John. I love him like a father, and Chad for that matter, but it will not be a blank page. I can promise you that.
Just an idea. That's why I don't represent you.
So you threw Trump out there, and as I do with most stories, I find a way to make it about myself. So earlier this week, they released the 42 questions for the jury. And question number 12, and I got to tell you, Brian, I'm not exaggerating when I tell you, Joseph Tacopina, Arthur Idala, Judge Jeanine Pirro, Judge Andrew Napolitano, Alan Dershowitz all agreed that question number 12 was directed solely at me, which is, to the juror, do you listen to talk radio in New York? If so, what stations do you listen to? So all these guys, feeding my ego, say, of course, that question is directed at you. You've got Trump on all the time. Everybody knows you're good friends with Trump. You're biased, blah, blah, blah. That may or may not be the truth, but the truth is he's going to start a trial on Monday, and he's looking at the possibility of 4 years if everything goes really, really badly. How crazy is that?
That's the sentencing, and it comes down to the judge, and him and the president have been going at it as personal as can be. President says, you know, you donated to Biden. You have a daughter that lives on the left that works for Adam Schiff. I don't know. So I also heard things, and I got a that I don't know what other members of his family might be associated with Tisha James. So if that pans out, so the president's obviously upset, and he tends to speak his mind. So that the judge will decide the sentencing. But is he actually going to, after 6 weeks, you know, take this left-wing jury and say, okay, I'm going to put the president in jail for 4 years? Are you insane while he runs for, while he leads the president, while he leads the polls? I mean, come on. How could he possibly do that without causing a civil war in the country?
I don't know he can either. And talking about those polls, you know, for the longest time now, Trump has had a nice-sized lead. He's winning all six or seven of the major swing states. I mean, some are closer than others. Michigan, he's got a nice lead. Not the case in Wisconsin. But when Arizona comes out a couple days ago with their abortion ruling dating back to like 200 years ago, everybody says that was not a very good day for Trump. Now, Trump came out to his credit and said, listen, they went too far. I'm compromising. I'm giving it to the states. 16 weeks, IVF, I'm there for the exceptions. They went too far. That's not going to be enough with Trump, though, is it?
Well, we'll see. I saw they had a screaming match in Arizona yesterday. The Republicans went to bat for it to keep it. Carrie Lake is backed off, too. Remember, she was, I'm all for 0 weeks, and now she knows that that's not where Arizona is. So she's calling on the governor to do something. Now, remember, the IVF was something that everyone thought was going to be an election issue, but quickly everyone came out and said, of course IVF is worth it. Of course it's not something that should be banned. And they offered legislation to fix it. You don't hear much about that. My sense is they'll do it in Arizona. They'll fix it in Arizona. But everywhere that abortion's on the ballot, Republicans struggle. Now, people, pro-life people, looking to us right now and saying, and listening to us right now and saying, so what? It's the right thing to do. Well, the thing is, if you have nobody in power, if you don't have any legislative body, you are not going to like what happens with abortion, and you're not going to like what's going to happen to your country.
Finally, you know what? 2 days ago, I had the chance to speak on the phone to Stephanie Diller. And it was a big deal, thanks to Paul DiGiacomo from the DEA. And, of course, for folks that have forgotten already, her husband, Jonathan Diller, police officer, was murdered in Queens a couple of weeks ago. And I bring that up because there's a story, I'm sure you're going to cover it today, too, that talks about kind of like the Yankees. You know how George Steinbrenner said, no beards, no mustaches, all that stuff? So they want to clean up the cops. You know, they want them to dress better and look better. And it's amazing because for weeks I've been saying the reason why I spoke to Diller, Brian, was I wanted to bring her on or somebody on because what happens here is an officer gets killed, We all cry. We go to the funeral. And then we forget about him. And I don't want that to be the case with Jonathan Diller. So now, after burying this wonderful hero cop, now we're talking about whether cops can wear turtlenecks or short sleeves. It's exactly what I did not want to happen. But it happens, Brian, almost every time.
Well, I'm a little torn on this in that I do believe that when you're a lean fighting force, when you're a team, you have discipline. And I do think that if you want to put discipline on all sides, I'm going to back you up. Now I want you to do this, tighten up the outfits. Let's look like the best police force in the country. You know, the same thing with coaches that say, I want those shirts tucked in. You know, I want those socks high or I want them low. You know, we want to look like a team out there. I am not so much against that. It's to how it's done. Hey, guys, is it done in a positive way? I mean, I was on there. I remember being with the Giants on the sideline, and Joe Morris was walking around giving demerits to the Giants for uniform violations. What was hiring, you know, what was hanging out of their uniform?
Yeah.
You know, what was on their helmet or what was on their, you know, on their cleats? So I'm a little torn on that because I do know there is something about looking the same, tightening it up. I talked to some police officers here now, retired, and it kills them that they have people have facial hair. Kills them.
Wow. Well, for what it's worth, you have no facial hair. You dress beautifully, especially this time of year. You got a little bit of a tan. You look very, very healthy in the morning. I watch you on TV. You look great. And then, of course, you got your own show coming up tomorrow night, folks, right after Mark Levin, 9 p.m., One Nation on Fox News. I've been on that show many times. I love that show. One day away, Brian Kilmeade. Who's stopping by tomorrow night?
Glenn Greenwald is going to talk about this NPR fiasco that just basically unmasked exactly what we've known, that they're all biased, wanted to destroy Trump, and he said it, and he says, I'll never vote for Trump, but this has got to stop. Glenn Greenwald, also to the left, but was incensed about how Trump was treated by the media. We're also going to leave with Rick Prado, who's one of our finest CIA agents, about the real chance of being hit at home and the chances of Iran having the audacity to attack back at Israel and what the answer will be. And then I'm going to talk to Mike Rowe as well and Marco Rubio and Kennedy. So it's going to be a packed show if I don't screw it up.
It's going to be great, folks. One Nation, 9 p.m. tomorrow night on Fox News. You can catch Brian Kilmeade on Fox and Friends this morning. And, of course, he does a great job following me 10 a.m. every weekday morning here on WABC. As always, Brian Kilmeade, spectacular job. Have yourself a great weekend.
All right, stay within yourself, Sid. Have a great weekend.
You got it, pal. Take care. There he is, my guy Brian Kilmeade. We'll take a short break. We got a very, very busy and exciting show about to come your way. Curtis Sliwa's going to stop by next. He's always fantastic. Judge Napolitano, Alex Treman, Joseph Tacopina. The list goes on and on. It's a Friday, and hour number two is about to come your way.